We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Woman's Hour website read by Harriet Cass.
Jenny Murray looks at how you teach children empathy with Nicola Daniel and debates whether you can have a no-sex affair with writers Lucy Cavendish and Paula Hall.
And our thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Miles Jupp. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Sue Perkins. Miles, listen to this. Rather distressingly, that was a Black Beauty mashup.
You've never said mashup before, have you, Sandra?
Did you find that mashup bang tidy, Sandra?
Yes, I rather. Miles, who is saying nay, nay, and thrice nay to burgers? And I give you 2 extra points if you don't mention Shergar.
As is so often the case in the news, Sandy, a thing has happened.
Oh.
In this instant, somebody, I don't know why you would start a project like this, but someone has been DNA testing the food in supermarkets and the like, and it's been discovered that in places like Tesco and Aldi and Lidl and Iceland, and I dare say more to be discovered, there's a lot of horse meat in what's advertised as being beef burgers. When I was in my first year at university in 1999, I remember going to Tesco, and I bought for £1 20 value burgers. And I have to say, I would have been thrilled to discover that 29% of it was something as high quality as horse meat. That would have been an astonishingly reassuring to me. But people are very upset about it because culturally we don't eat horse meat.
If you saw Frankie Dettori on top of a cow with a riding crop, would you eat that cow?
Not after Frankie Dettori sat on it, no.
I can't really see the difference between horse and cow. I think it's why I was not allowed to compete in the Olympic dressage, but...
I would love to see you atop a cow doing one of those little jumps. And then the silly ballet.
The simple rules are you can't eat Champion the Wonder Horse, you can't eat Flipper, you can't eat Bambi, you can't eat Thumper. You can eat Ermintrude.
You can eat Bambi.
Because Ermintrude didn't really exist.
Don't tell me
you can't
me
eat
now.
Pingu.
Pingu?
You can't eat Pingu.
I've eaten Pingu.
Yeah,
you
I've
haven't
Pingu.
Eaten Pingu.
I've eaten Pingu, yeah.
Oh, you cow.
Yeah.
I'll eat you now.
I was at Whipsnade and got hungry, that's all I'm saying.
Do you know, I was once in the Arctic, as you are, making a film, and we were hunting, and we were hunted to ptarmigan, which is not a difficult bird to hunt. They're big, fat, they don't fly, they don't really go anywhere, you just go at that, and they're dead. And... they said, we'll cook it for you, but it's a tradition, it's an honour to be given the warm heart of the ptarmigan to eat straight away. And it was not very big, and I didn't want to offend these perfectly nice Arctic people. So I put it in my mouth and swallowed it, and they cried with laughter. You British, so polite, so stupid!
I wouldn't object to... I haven't eaten it, but I wouldn't object to eating horse. It sounds... I don't want to upset the animal... people. I certainly don't want them putting a horse's head in my bed. That would undermine their argument somewhat. But that's not what I'm out to do. But I was looking at some horse meat recipes today because lots of people started publishing them. There's one, it's a roast horse with blue cheese and horseradish. I mean, if any meal justified the use of horseradish...
Snake. Nobody likes snakes, but nobody eats them either over here.
I've had snake
in China, but over here you wouldn't get people eating it, would you? And it's not because they feel fond of snakes. So
no, and it's
pets,
weird because they're very easy to get in a tin. You just roll them up and... Have you had horse meat, Francis?
I haven't had it. I've had scorpion.
Have you?
That's bloody good.
Wow.
I've eaten scorpion in China, and it does have a nice poisonous tang about it. I was very excited with this thing because all these years, whenever I go to Tesco, at the checkout, they all say to me, have you got a club card? And I've never in all my years discovered what this means. And I read it, but they said, Pony Club. I would have joined at once.
Gavin Essler is going to be so hated. He was so pleased with himself. He was on Newsnight the other night. And he was going, yeah, well, this is like very good steak. And he was really cocky. And I thought, oh, you are playing with the nation's feelings.
He got ill, though, afterwards.
So
did he?
Right.
Yeah.
How
but now he's in a stable condition. Good night.
Why were people testing the DNA of burgers? Was it some kind of paternity thing?
It's like, it's like Jeremy Kyle for meat.
Tests have revealed that some of Tesco's everyday value burgers contain up to 29% horse meat. All the stores carrying this line were also found to be short of carrots, apples and sugar lumps. In 9 out of 10 samples, horse DNA was found at very low levels. Oh, that'll be Shetland pony. Shadow Environment Secretary Mary Cray stated that all consumers would be concerned by the news. Not at all. Some of us shop at Waitrose. 2 points to Miles. Francis, who is saying goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to a decent wage?
It's Theresa May.
Yeah.
She's a plucky old thing, isn't she? She's taking on the police.
Yes.
She must have a death wish. She's going to reduce their starting salary by 4,000 quid, I think. Mm. So they'll earn less than a trainee McDonald's manager, I think it is. And the most amazing thing is that the Police Federation, I mean, they normally go berserk if anyone so much as looks at them. Out come the truncheons and it's, you know, hello, 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 and then biff, baff, boff, and oh, bumped into a door, did you, sir? And this time round, Theresa May says she's going to cut their salary. And they're just sort of shrugging their shoulders and say, well, all right, I suppose we can't do anything about it. And they're obviously up to something. They're plotting something. I don't know what, but I just wouldn't like to be in her shoes next time she tries to go through those Downing Street gates. I think possibly a full-body search will be for starters, and then they'll be, oh, Mrs. May, we've just found a kilo of heroin concealed about this. Oh, what's this? There's a mask and a sack mark swag, and, oh, a sawn-off shotgun as well. Oh, lost that in your handbag, the entire proceeds of the Brinks Mat robbery. Well, I think we're looking at 30 years, aren't we? I think she's had it. Something really horrible is going to happen to her very soon if she carries on like this.
I always like when they talk about the Police Federation. They always talk about it representing rank-and-file officers. It sounds like policemen who moonlight as pedicurists, do you not think? £4,000 drop in your salary is quite a lot, isn't it?
Maybe they should perhaps give policemen some incentives, like company car, uniform.
I just had a vision of underpaid mounted police officers riding into Tesco's and then walking out with cash back as Bobby's on the beat. And they're cutting numbers, aren't they?
Yes.
There are going to be fewer police officers, because apparently there is no correlation between the number of police and the amount of crime, unless it's the police committing the crime. I mean, because there is that bit in RoboCop where the police go on strike and it all goes very...
Are you basing all of this round knowledge on RoboCop?
Well, no, what I'm saying is, in RoboCop, what happens
you are.
is there's a police strike and crime just lets rip. But it might be that if the police just stayed in one day, then it might be that nothing actually changes. It would be interesting. It might be a disaster, but it would be interesting to find out, is it that people are afraid of being arrested that stops crime happening, or is it the fact that most people aren't criminals?
The bit I don't understand is they're going to have more Bobbies on the beat, but where are they going to start and end? That's the bit I find difficult. Are they just going to start and end at home? Are all police beats going to be based around policemen's houses? You've got to go somewhere, or do they meet in a cafe?
999, what service do you require? I'm afraid he's working from home today.
But in Heartbeat, they pretty much work from home, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh. And Heartbeat's got more murders than in Manhattan. It makes Midsummer Murders look like CBeebies. It's the death capital of Yorkshire in Heartbeat.
It's got an important role to play, that sort of thing. But midwives, for instance, at the moment, there's been a massive surge in the rise of people applying to become midwives because people have been watching, you know, nice Sunday night television
called
The Midwife. And what the police need is a sort of similar police version of that that, you know, gives a nice sort of glossy idea of being a policeman or a police lady in the 1950s.
Police
and the
lady.
Sort of... Isn't that what they're called?
Yes, that's exactly what they're
that's
called.
That's what I always shout after I've wolf whistled at them. you know, just saying the sort of jolly scrapes that they might get into. You know, sort of kettling unruly farmers... Having your riot bicycle torched.
This week, the number of police officers under the age of 26 has fallen by half in almost 2 years. And I like the idea of an older police person. You know, they arrest you rather gently and help you. Like those old people in B&Q who don't really know where anything is, but are very keen to help you with your rights in some way. And then eventually extract a confession from you by going on about the war for 48 hours.
That's good, that point about older thing. My mum does a brilliant thing when she's talking. She goes to the bank, perhaps, to discuss financial matters, and she's getting nowhere with someone who's sort of 23. She just goes, "I need to speak to someone older."
The trouble with mocking the police is occasionally you need them, and then you have to say, you know all those things that we said about you on the radio? That was just, can you come now, please? Because he's got an axe.
Home Secretary Theresa May has announced that the starting salary for police constables will be cut by £4,000 a year to just £19,000. The new system is supposed to make it easier for new recruits to climb to the top of the ladder very quickly, presumably because they'll quit the police and become builders instead. 2 points to Francis. Jeremy, who hopes means testing will be retired?
Why do I get this question? Francis is older than me. It's to do with our future. And the government has decided the best way to deal with the pensions time bomb is not to do anything about fuel poverty, because with this cold snap, it'll all be irrelevant by Monday. But, yeah, it's to do with having a flat rate pension. I don't care. The trouble is, we put this stuff off because you don't want to think about it when... Because, you know, we could be run over tomorrow. Planning for your old age. And you see in the paper, it says... Find out whether this affects you, and you think, I don't want to be one of those people who listens to Moneybox. Oh, how much does this affect me? Oh, it's Marley. It's nothing to do with me. Oh, that's good. I haven't got any shares in Marley. That won't bother me. Mind you, I hear there's gold there. This could be interesting. I don't want to be one of those people. I can't even remember whether it affects me, so it probably does. Basically, there's no point us caring about our pensions, because by the time we get to 68, which is the new retirement age, it will have been pushed back to 100.
I think you kind of summed it up, because The Guardian labelled this pension debate boring but important, which I think is also Sir Mervyn King's letterhead.
You should just be able to retire when you've had enough. And they say, have you had enough? You say, yeah, do you know what, I'm knackered. And they say, well, how much do you want? And you say, oh, do you know what, just enough to keep me in toffees, really. And that's kind of what Gordon Brown did. Rather than have a flat rate pension, he said, you can have some for fuel, you'll need a TV licence, you have some for that. You'll have a Werther's Originals.
Free budgie.
You'll have a nostalgia payment. You'll have a racial bigotry quota where you get extra money for being a bigot. The government has thought, rather than do this bitty thing where you get all bits and bobs of stuff, you just get a flat rate, which will help some people and other people will not be helped. You'll get more, but you'll have had to pay so much for it along the way. It's a bit like exercise, really. I mean, you live longer, but it evens out because the extra years you get, you've spent in the gym anyway. So you pay more through your life, and then at the end of your life, you've suddenly got all this money and nothing, you know, you can't move, so you've got nothing to spend your money on. So then you've just got to try and find a way of not giving it to the care home who are looking after you and somehow smuggling it to your relatives without paying inheritance tax. So basically, best thing to do is just to not save and throw yourself on the mercy of the state when you're old.
Or do a Bowie and release an album out of nowhere, aged in your sort of mid to late 60s.
Yeah. Or just die before you get you get too old.
I'm going to have to work forever. I've got this horrible image now of myself in my 70s dragging Jeremy onto the stage in my tartan shopping trolley. Happen. Pensions Minister Steve Webb has published a white paper proposing a flat rate state pension of £144 a week for everyone who retires after April 2017. The pensions changes...
What, does that mean we can all retire after April?
Yeah, everybody.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. The pension changes will be good news for women and the self-employed. So it's good for me on both counts. What a marvellous minister he is.
When someone says something is good news for women, you just think it's going to be a whisk or a hair conditioner, don't you? There's going to be nothing more than that, really.
One of your modern kitchen newfangled devices.
Here's something for the ladies.
Wow.
There's some ad on the commercial radio at the moment. I think it's Juliet Stevenson, and she says, what is it that every woman wants? She wants her twinkle back. And I thought, really? That's...
See what? If someone took my twinkle, I'd be livid.
Yeah. 2 points to Jeremy. Sue, which master may have lost his voice?
Oh, this is the sad news that another one of the stores we loved as children is shutting down. And I still, to be honest, haven't got over Comet. I loved Comet because it was the only car park that was open on New Year's Day that I could go and sob in.
Um, was another car there. I never got out to see who it was.
And it's funny, I spent a lot of time in HMV when I was a kid, but it went into administration on Tuesday. It was making love on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, and it closed on Sunday. It's due to online trading, and I think that the staff in Ireland barricaded themselves into HMV.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Just so they could just break the back end of that Borgen box set.
I'm amazed that a shop that sold Jack Russells and gramophones lasted so long. I mean, it's...
Surely that Jack Russell would have terrible tinnitus standing so close. I don't know what the technical term is, but the bell end bit of the... is that a technical term? Just a man shaking his head there in the middle of
the... I think this might be the context in which you can say bell end, actually.
Yeah.
A gramophonic bell end.
Say it while you've got the chance.
People ought to... Know the name of that dog?
Nipper.
Nipper, yes.
There we are, 2 points, Francis. Sorry, yeah, can
sorry,
I do that?
I give,
I'm sorry.
I'll give Francis an
that
extra,
must seem terribly arrogant
an extra point. Actually, the whole history of HMV is fascinating, and you can get it on Amazon if you're...
Shame.
I'm going to give an extra point for any other shops that's closing that you can name. I'll give an extra
point. Fine Fair.
What?
Jessop's.
Jessop's, yes. An extra point. Another
Blockbuster.
One. Blockbuster, yeah, point there for Jeremy.
Starbucks, come on, we can make it happen.
The high street everyone is mourning is all sort of big companies anyway. I mean, it's strange to think get to a point where big companies like that are being mourned in a way. I don't know if in sort of 50 years' time people are getting, oh, do you remember Google and Microsoft? It was just, well, it was sort of really personal, wasn't it? That's what I liked about it.
There were those great Saturday afternoons wandering in HMV, not able to find either the film or the CD you wanted and wandering out again. They were fun.
They were quite good pick-up spots as well. You know, you could just eyeball people over some vinyl. And it would feel perfectly normal, you know. Take the record away. It's just perving.
But they could do that on Amazon, though, couldn't they?
What?
People who bought the Chris de Burgh album also like dreary sex in a, in a conventional position. And then they have a dating thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think you should be on Dragon's Den. Troubled entertainment retailer HMV this week called in the administrators and told its customers that gift vouchers would not be honoured. HMV was just beaten to going under by Jessop's in what can only be described as a photo finish. Thank you. People who had been given gift cards from HMV as a Christmas present were devastated, and then the store went into administration. HMV first opened in London in 1921 and started selling its first Cliff Richard calendars 2 months later. 2 points to Sue. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Sue have got 5 points, but Francis and Miles are in the lead with 6. We start round two with a cutting from the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Gritters were busy treating around 50% of East Riding's roads yesterday as conditions remain treacherous. The council advises motorists to stay to the treated network if possible, said head of street scene services, John Skidmore.
And our thanks to Claire Moore for sending us that. Francis, why shouldn't I call you a pillock yet?
It's Theresa May again. There's no stopping her.
No.
She's taking on the police, but she can't take on the House of Lords. Oh, dear me, no. The peers voted to get rid of the insulting language bit of the Public Order Act, or whatever it is, because at the moment you can be arrested if you say anything insulting to anyone, or in that famous case, to a police horse.
Yeah.
And someone said to a policeman, do you know your horse is gay? And he was arrested.
That was my wife's cousin.
Was it really?
Yeah, he was arrested.
The
horse.
Your wife's cousin's a potential burger. Right.
I wonder if I've been misunderstood.
Yeah.
My wife's cousin was one of the two gentlemen arrested in Oxford, was it?
For saying a horse was gay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Don't you think the real scandal here is that police horses still have to keep to a don't ask, don't tell policy? Can I just say that occasionally, the news quiz, people have a pop at us because they say that we're always having a go at the government, mainly from people who've forgotten the many things we used to say about Gordon Brown's regime. But Simon Calvert from the Feel Free to Insult Me campaign, he's a bastard, Simon said, the government have done the right thing and we congratulate them. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Can we say something nice about the government? How fantastic!
Can I also say that I agree that we should opt out of the European arrest warrant because it denies our citizens the protection from our courts and it means that they can be sent to another jurisdiction without prima facie evidence. See, I'm being balanced. It's boring, isn't it?
Yeah. The Public Order Act is to be amended so that using insulting language will no longer be illegal. This follows a poll which found that 62% of MPs believe it shouldn't be the government's role to outlaw insults, which is good, as this government seems determined to actively encourage them. The Public Order Act dates back to 1986, the final book of George Orwell's famous trilogy. The campaign was praised by David Davis, who's a total arse. I'm just testing the amendment, see how well it's working. 2 points to Francis. Sue, who's been saying it could be two?
This is the National Lottery. And they have basically increased their voluntary tax on the poor to two of your English pounds, which is fine. I mean, £2 is okay because, let's face it, that Dale Winton respray isn't going to pay for itself. And they haven't really given good reason. My own personal theory is it's a wage increase for that brilliant man who has that incredible memory and always knows how often the balls have been there before and exactly when. And that's ball number 24, last seen in March, like my wife Liz, who left me round about that time because all I do is sit round a microphone saying, ball number 17, that was May 24th. Help me, I know lots of numbers, but I can't make love with a lady. So I don't know. I mean, I don't play the lottery. I'm not a fan of it. I don't do scratch cards or anything like that. But I think they're trying to recalibrate because they're trying to get more people to win money, but just not a lot of it. So I think you can, instead of £10 for three numbers, you might win 25. But the big jackpots are going to decrease. And that was where my interest literally stopped.
It's the Euro Millions you've got to win, though.
Is that the big mainstream one.
You don't win enough. Because, I mean, you need to win, like, over 100 million to really change your life, I think.
I got £25 from my premium bonds the other day. I was very pleased.
How long have you waited for 25 quid from your premium bonds?
25 years. Got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
That hasn't really worked for the Lib Dems, has it?
It's a tax on desperation. That's why. Yeah. The minute city stockbrokers go off to work in the morning. Bye, darling, see you later, I'll come back with lots of money. And she says, bye, darling, I'll just be at book club all day drinking a lot. And she sees him off and she's straight down the newsagents buying lottery tickets so she can buy her way out of her loveless, miserable life, married to a vampire of capitalism. It's not just the poor, that's a myth. All sorts of desperate people, like myself, do the lottery all the time because there is that chance. You think, yeah, but every week somebody wins a shedload of money and it could be me.
14 million to 1.
At the moment, you've got, for a pound, you've got a 1 in 14 million chance of winning the National Lottery, a 1 in 116 million chance of winning Euro Millions, and a 1 in 1 trillion chance of earning interest if you invested in a high street bank.
Yeah, but all those things that they say, all those ailments that you've got a 1 in 40 million chance of getting, like athlete's foot or irritable bowel syndrome, I've got all of them. So statistics are rubbish.
How many millions would take your mind off the irritable bowel and athlete's foot combo?
Well, I forget about it intermittently anyway. When I walk from one room to another, it's usually gone by the time I get in there. I think, oh, I better go and get me athlete's foot powder. And by the time I get in there, I think, oh, what's the ailment I've come in here for?
Camelot plan to double the price of a National Lottery ticket in the autumn, but will increase the number of prizes drawn and the size of the winning jackpot. The price of a standard lottery ticket will double to £2, while the price of playing Thunderball, Euro Millions and scratch cards remains unchanged at £1. So poorer households will still have a way to dispose of their unwanted cash. This is the first price rise since the lottery was started in 1994, back when a pound could buy you a four-bedroom house in Leeds. 2 points to Sue. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Ween. Honestly, every week we have this bit. Every week they have to look for the...
I've just discovered a bit of my anatomy I didn't know existed.
I'm still reeling from Jeremy's athlete's foot. I mean, I know he's got a foot. It's just the athlete bit that amazes me.
I tell you the truth, the athlete wasn't very pleased about it.
I'm amazed that your bowel is more irritable than any other aspect.
Can you imagine how furious that colon is?
Mr. Ween.
Thanks very much to Steve Amor for sending this in. It's from the website of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Rag Gu Rock Gwe Kim, also known as Rocky, was caught on video during the June 2011 riot, damaging vehicles and trying repeatedly to set a truck outside the post office on fire. Kim said he no longer expects to be accepted at a medical school because of his criminal record, so he plans to become a lawyer instead.
Mr. Jump.
This was sent in by Graham Rogers. This is an advert for entertainment on a sign outside a pub near Fordingbridge in Hampshire. Tuesday, the 18th of December, Roger the Pianist, live.
Mr. Hardy.
This is sent in by Chloe Lees, and it's from the This Is Gloucestershire website. Parts of Stratford Park Leisure Centre in Stroud are closed due to flooding in the sports hall and activity centre. Swimming classes are unaffected.
Ms. Perkins.
This was sent in by Judith Nicholson, and this is the Wikipedia entry for Augustus the Strong, the Elector of Saxony. Augustus's great physical strength earned him the nicknames The Strong, The Saxon Hercules, and Iron Hand. He liked to show that he lived up to his name by breaking horseshoes with his bare hands and engaging in fox tossing with a single finger. That's a skill.
Wow. Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Sue have got 10 points, but this week's winners are Francis and Miles with 12. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Yahoo Eurosport website sent in by John Gardner.
As part of the 2012 legacy, Prime Minister David Cameron and London Mayor Boris Johnson have come out in support of London's bid to host the 2018 Gay Games.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Miles Jupp, Jeremy Hardy and Sue Perkins. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, John Luke Roberts and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Susan Murray and Jack Bernhardt. The producer was Lindsay Fenner.